Hello, hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Show. I am your host, Nicholas Lorimer, and I'm sorry that we're a little bit late for those of you watching us live. Unfortunately, my internet fell over, and also we had, as the kids would say, a super lit pre-show conversation, which went into very complicated directions. We were talking about Danish and Swedish and all sorts of interesting things. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Let me, of course, introduce our guests for today. So we have the great and magnificent and wonderful Sargon. Sar, how are you?
I'm just still struggling to live up to that description, but I'll try.
And, of course, the quick-witted and bearded Gabriel.
Well, I'm one of those things.
Right, so let us get into the news of it. I guess we should start off with another update on the coalitions, because there was some drama over the weekend. So of course, we're finally beginning to see the formation of some coalitions across South Africa that that have elected governments now. I think Cederberg has elected some people. The independent organization there, Cederberg Eerste, Cederberg First, I think got the mayorship. I see Neisner has just elected, I think, a DA mayor. And there have been some votes in some of the other municipalities. I think Durban is currently voting as we speak, or has just voted. That'll be an ANC victory, but still on much shakier grounds than it used to be. And I read online that as they were about to vote in Durban, the power went out.
Yeah.
Just like, yeah. That's what more do you need to know? So the exciting drama has happened. Well, let's start off with Nelson Mandela Bay, and then we'll get up to Gauteng in a minute. But Nelson Mandela Bay, the DA, pulled together this huge coalition, and I can't find the names of all the parties that are in it, but it was quite a mess, and they expected to win both the speakership and the mayorship. Well, the candidate for a group called the Northern Alliance, who I think are probably fairly described as a colored nationalist party, their demands for entering into the coalition were that a certain percentage of the municipal budget should be spent on colored areas, in the way they said it. So they won the speakership, and then the ANC managed to win the mayorship with one vote. Very close. 59 votes for the DA mayoral candidate, Ngabobanga, who I'm not a huge fan of, to be honest. And the DA mayor, and the ANC mayor getting 60 votes. So it seems to me like maybe someone defected at the last minute. I'm not entirely sure what the details of that are. I think some of them will emerge in the coming days. But I think this is just a little bit of a taste of the sort of chaos that's going to happen going forward. Zara, what do you make of the Nelson Mandela Bay shenanigans?
Well, I think it's very Nelson Mandela Bay. I mean, it's. I think, I suddenly forgot the guy's name. The guy who died of COVID, who caused so much trouble between the DA and.
It was a UDM guy.
And the politics was so dirty and so nasty. Fracas in the chamber, one poor DA person got hit over the head by
Andile Lungisa. A DA councillor over the head. He had one of those big glass jugs. He smashed it over his head.
It caused a lot of injury by all accounts. That's Nelson Mandela Bay. I think you can expect, Bongo got the mayorship by the same sort of way, and Ethel Trollope lost out. Nelson Mandela Bay, I think, the DA is probably better off actually not having the mayorship. I think it's just so potentially volatile, and I'd be very surprised if much comes out of that combination of. I mean, there seems to be a million parties involved in Nelson Mandela Bay, which probably means very little is going to.
including some of these very small parties, which I had never heard of before this election, like a group called Defenders of the People have two seats there, for example. I looked up their website. They just seem to be like a fairly sort of small kind of community organization, sort of left-leaning, but not particularly ideological. And I guess that the DA went for this coalition because they said, well, we can actually do a coalition in a metro without the ANC or the EFF, and therefore we should take the opportunity. And it looks like it's going to prove a little bit harder to keep together than perhaps they thought it might be.
That's very much the history of the place.
Gabriel, what do you make of this?
Yeah, so I think the UDM guy was Mkadisi Fultane. And there, you know, there was confusing stories about whether and how he flipped. I mean, part of me just wants to say, look at the numbers. So it's not enough to tally up the EFF and the ANC and then see that they're less than 50% and then say, therefore, the opposition parties can all get together and keep the ANC and the EFF out. Mm. It's just not the case that all the tiny little parties, the little one or two seat parties, are against the ANC, EFF, National Democratic Revolution. So we need to be careful. And I think a lot of people, a lot of commentators, a lot of professional journalists are not being careful about those numbers. It's just illiterate, innumerate. Mm-hmm. And so I think where there is an opportunity, the ANC and the EFF should be kept out. But if there's no opportunity, if there's no real opportunity, if that requires depending on people who are actually on board with the program that has been ruining this country for the last few years, then what you have to do is be the best opposition you can be, try and check corruption, try and apply public pressure, try and encourage voters to give you the chance next time around. I think there's this silly attitude that if you don't take up the mantle, then you don't care about your voters. That's clearly not the case. There'll be a lot of ward councillors that can do their job of escalating complaints and a lot of, PR councillors in council who can use their time carefully to hold the powerful's feet to the fire. And that's what you got to do.
So I think I'm correct in saying that if you add the DA's 48 seats in Nelson Mandela Bay to the Northern Alliance's 3 seats, to the ACDP's 2 seats, to the Freedom Front's 2 seats, to the Defenders of the People's 2 seats, to the African Independence Movement, who I know nothing about, and I believe they may have voted for the ANC mayor, you get basically 58 seats, which is too short of the number you need.
I think the reality is, I mean, one doesn't know much about these parties. You know, they're a name more than a party in many cases. They knew, as Gabriel says, you don't know what you're trying to coalesce with. It's too presumptuous. Just because they aren't the ANC or they aren't the EFF, therefore they are in opposition.
Yeah, this is my bachelor's party. I'm just going to invite anyone.
Right.
All of the friends of my friends on Facebook.
Yeah, I think the most obvious example here is the Patriotic Alliance, who have made a very explicit, they've been pretty explicit about what they want. They said, we want jobs and we want power patronage. And portfolios and patronage. Yeah. And they've been really blunt about that. Gert McKenzie has said that. And so they have joined with the ANC EFF bloc in most cases. And they were, I'm sure, crucial to the ANC's victory in Nelson Mandela Bay here. And they are a small party, but they hold a couple of crucial seats in a lot of the important metros around the country. So I think that's also making things difficult at this point. But anyway, so that's interesting. But let's move up to
Gauteng. One metaphor, because we keep talking about the buffalo that is the ANC, the little calf that's the EFF, and then all of the wild dogs that are going after it. And I think that's just one category short. Anyone who spent a little bit of time in the wilderness, I think Cyrus is coming from the Kruger Park. It's getting rainy now. It's getting summery now. There are a lot of ticks and a lot of flies. And it's the little ticks and flies sucking on the hindquarters of the big buffalo that sometimes get it over the tilt to 51. And you just have to know what the difference is between a wild dog and a tick and then you can figure out how numerically the opposition maybe, parties can't actually get it together.
Or maybe the wild dogs can pick up those ticks in some cases.
That's not good. That doesn't sound like a good idea.
You don't know who you're dealing with, yeah.
So anyway, let's go up now to Gauteng, where I think more drama has been seen. And this is, of course, between the widely publicized drama between the DA and Action SA. Now, I saw someone a couple of shows ago said, you guys are so anti-Action SA. And at least as far as I'm concerned, I'll admit to that. But that's just because I was DA councillor when Mashaba was made mayor, and I really didn't get on particularly well with him or his administration. So that's where I'm coming from, at least. But Gabriel, I know, takes a much more sympathetic view. So we had this fallout between there was, it looked like there might be some kind of coalition deal on the cards between a lot of the big opposition parties in Gauteng. Tswane seemed to be agreed on and stitched up. The Action SA was going to go into coalition with the DA and Freedom Front. And I think altogether they would form
an ACDP a block.
And ACDP and COPE, and together that would be an absolute majority and presumably a pretty stable government in which they can actually do some stuff. The EFF wouldn't have any influence over it. Good stuff. But now that's in doubt, because over the weekend there was this discussion about Joburg, and Action SA said, look, we can, if you make Herman Mashaba the mayor, we will pull this big coalition of parties together, right? Support you in Tswane, and the EFF will help put us over the top in Joburg. They won't be part of the government, but they'll put us over the top. Now, that is exactly what happened in 2016. The EFF didn't ever formally join the DA coalition in Joburg, but in effect, it exercised sort of total veto power of the government and had a lot of influence over it. So for its so the DA said, nah, this deal doesn't work. We're the biggest party in Joburg of the opposition parties. This isn't going to work for us. We don't want to be a part of this. You guys can do your own thing. We're going to vote for our mayoral candidate, Paul Palatse. So this caused Mashaba to say that he felt he had been betrayed, that he had been double-crossed, which Helen Ziller said was a complete distortion of what they had agreed to, and that, in fact, Mashaba himself, according to Ziller, had agreed to put aside his mayoral ambitions in Joburg if it was any kind of stumbling block. So it's a lot of he said, she said. There's a lot of vitriol being spewed now between the DA and Action SA, and it looks like that could endanger a coalition in Tswane as well, as Gabriel said. Gabriel, what do you make of all of this stuff going on in between Action SA and the DA?
Okay, dude, on the basis of the numbers, I don't see a stable government being formed in Johannesburg without the EFF. Either the EFF gets on board with the ANC, and then you have a quote-unquote stable government. You get a bit of, what's the thing that people always talk about? We want policy certainty.
yes, you can, the thing that business is always going on about.
You can get certain policies, okay? And that's a nice thing. In the alternative, you have the EFF joining the Wild Dogs, and then you can be certain of what the results are going to be there too. It's also going to be a bit of a nightmare. So either way, it's a bit of a nightmare. I think a bit of Russian fairy tales here. They don't have mermaids. They have Rusalka, these alluring blue-lipped maidens. And if you get close enough, they grab you in their clutches and they pull you to the bottom of an icy lake. That is what Johannesburg is. Seductive, beautiful, gorgeous. It's a death knell. It's the kiss of death. Whoever wins Joburg, whoever gets that mayoral chain, is an albatross. The person who wins Joburg, that party has the most to lose come 2024, because this city requires very serious, not just maintenance, but infrastructure overhaul. That's not going to happen with an EFF vote necessary to pass a budget. So it's either going to be done badly with lots of corruption, or it's going to be done not at all with lots of corruption. Either way, it's going to produce a lot of embarrassment.
Just to emphasize that point, I've heard from some of my former colleagues who are DA councillors in Joburg that the city's infrastructure, particularly its electricity grid, is in an extremely bad state. And the next 5 years, if it doesn't get a lot of investment and maintenance, as Gabriel says, let's just say buy a generator.
Yeah. So it's going to be embarrassing. I'm not saying that Joburg couldn't be reformed, but it can't be reformed with the EFF being the swing vote.
And so, quite frankly, it's not going to be reformed in 5 years.
No. Mm. So the thing is, so Joburg is the kiss of death. I think, you know, part of me thinks that Mashaba might actually know this and is trying to get the DA to get the mayoralty so that they can be embarrassed. And part of me thinks that there might be some very Machiavellian DA people that actually would like Mashaba to get it because they'd like him to be stuck in the in council instead of running for president. Whoever gets it loses. The opposite is true in Pretoria, where you do have the numbers for a stable coalition. In Pretoria, Action SA, DA, FF Plus, ACDP, COPE, they need to prove two things. Firstly, that if they work together in that city, they can work together in a bigger way. And secondly, that there's a day and night difference between having an EFF swing vote situation with the ANC in charge or whomever else in charge and the alternative. Mm. I think that this election is very messy. The 2021 election, the headline result was not our cities are going to be fixed. The headline result is the ANC dropped below 50%. The ANC and the EFF collectively dropped from over 66% to 57%. If they keep going on that trend into 2024, there's a very real chance that the ANC and the EFF drop below 50%. And there's a very real chance that if you accelerate that, you can have a real change of power in the union buildings. The road to the union buildings, the competition is between John Steenhuisen and Herman Mashaba to be the next president of South Africa. If they screw it up, it'll be Ramaphosa again. If they get it right, one of them will be the president, the other one will probably be deputy. The question is going to be, do you think the road to Pretoria runs through Johannesburg? Or do you think the road to Pretoria runs through Pretoria? Now, the clue is in the name. It runs through Pretoria. If you want to get to the union buildings, you need Pretoria. Stay away from Joburg. The Boerewors curtain will scorch you. It will blind you. It'll get messy pig fat all over your face. Stay away from Joburg. Go to Pretoria through Pretoria. There's no airport there, but there is an opportunity to come up into that place, take the mayoralty, work together. And those parties should be meeting every week in Pretoria to figure out how to run that city so well that they can prove to the country that they can run the country well. So that's my two cents. In terms of practicalities, the vote on Johannesburg was supposed to be now. It might be postponed. It might actually go forward. Anyone could win it. I think it's going to be terrible for whoever does. The vote for Pretoria was supposed to be tomorrow. My understanding is that there's some calls to try and postpone this for a week. And I think this will be a huge week in South African politics if they screw it up. The worst outcome would be if the DA gets Johannesburg and the ANC gets Pretoria, because Mashaba is bitter about not getting the mayoralship and so withdraws Action SA support, and then it goes the other way. That would be that secures the 2024 election for Ramaphosa. Then you can be sure he's going to win, because that will create so much bad blood. They'll never get over it. They'll just keep insulting each other in the opposition. They won't focus on the EFF and the ANC. They won't get their heads together about policy. They won't get heads knocked together around meeting rooms about how to form a government going forward. They really should be thinking about that kind of stuff. I don't think they are. I think that they're fixated on the small little prizes in front of them, the little crumbs, instead of going for the whole caboose. And I think that that's going to cost us dearly. And I'm not saying this just about Action SA. I think that DA's ACDP, FF Plus, on the weekend papers, I saw comments that seemed embarrassing from every single one of those parties.
Sara, what do you make of all this?
I think it shows a measure of Herman Mashaba, because, you know, if you're saying that he agreed to put his mayoral ambitions aside, if it would help the cause, so to speak, and suddenly it becomes, well, you know, his mayoral ambitions can be thrust into the limelight provided the EFF come on board. And the DA had made it absolutely clear that the EFF was not going to be part of any coalition or agreement, because the EFF doesn't do coalitions. I think his ego has overtaken the wisdom of whether he should have the mayoralty or not. And in sort of blaming the DA for this predicament of that he faces of not getting the mayoralty because he can't get the EFF, because he can't get the DA, he made some extraordinary comments in the Sunday papers. And the one, other than the fact that he felt he'd been double-crossed by the DA, was he I think he kind of lost his mind for a minute, because he said, you know, as a, you know, consequence of this, you, people will feel my brutality. And I thought that was an extraordinary word to use. I mean, vengeful didn't even begin to cover it, and it's an extraordinarily violent word to use. And I think that that says something about the volatility of the personality, not to mention the ego. So I think the possibility with Herman Mashaba is hubris. I wonder whether his party will, in the long run, hang together. I think personality politics could well completely upend them. But I agree. I think the problem with having the formal responsibility of Joburg is you run the risk of essentially not being able to do much and then being held liable for your predecessor's mistakes. And those mistakes, as Nicholas indicated, are huge. I think in the circumstances, the best you could do in Joburg is, if you've got principles, is to stick by them and let everyone else sort of flail about you. But Joburg, sadly, I mean, the city that really needs it is just not going to have the votes either side to put in place any stability. And I wouldn't want to be held responsible for the instability. Or I wouldn't want to be a party that's held responsible for the instability.
So I got my wires a bit crossed, and it seems that actually the council meeting is going ahead in Joburg today, I believe. At least they're swearing in the councillors. And that was the same election when I was sworn in. We elected the mayor at the same meeting, so I assume that's probably going to happen now. When we did it in 2016, when Mashaba became mayor, it was such drama because the ANC objected to having an open ballot, and they said, no, we want a secret ballot. No one's allowed to know who you voted for as mayor. And then there was opposition to that, and then they argued with each other for hours and hours, and the EFF did this, and it was a total disaster, and it took so long. And eventually, I think an ANC councillor died during the proceedings as well from a heart attack or something. It was just chaos. And eventually, Herman Mashaba won. And I remember because the EFF was very happy at the time. And Floyd Shivambu, who was one of the people counting the ballots, stands up from the table because we're in the city hall. You don't do the first meeting in the council. And he does this kind of little dance like that on the stage. And that was when the opposition knew that the ANC had lost power in Joburg. Anyway, I'm sure that the meeting's going to go on for a long time, and I wouldn't be surprised if it gets postponed or delayed until tomorrow, because that certainly happened with us in 2016.
Yeah, hugely important meeting. Curiosity, because I was reading the municipal... the Structures Act or Electoral Act, Schedule 3 on election procedure for the mayoral candidacy. It says if more than one candidate is nominated, Section B, each councillor a vote must be taken at the meeting by secret ballot. So I don't know if that's an amendment which happened since 2016 or if it's an old law which was subsequently amended. But
I can't remember. I think it's relatively recent. It was put in quite recently. Anyway,
I think this meeting about Joburg is huge, and bizarrely enough, in my opinion, not for the fate of Joburg. As a Joburger, mm-hmm. I want very desperately for the city to get its act together. Where I live, some of the time in Johannesburg CBD, I mean, the sewage is pouring through the streets. The pavement has turned into an unofficial dump site, so people dump their stuff there, and because it's not in a skip. Literally every Wednesday morning, a pickup dozer comes with a huge crane front and scrapes all the junk back into a pickup truck, pulling away the pavement. The pavement's now been eroded. The layer below the pavement's been eroded. They're now digging into the jacaranda trees. It's like a 1.5 meter ditch, which then turns into a kind of swimming pool every time it rains. I would love that to be fixed. Mm. I just don't think anyone is going to fix that stands a chance of being elected. The Joburg story is not about Johannesburg. It's about South Africa, whereas the Pretoria story is about both.
I think that's exactly right. I think at the end of the day, there's going to basically be no real improvements in the big metros going forward because it's just going to be chaos. And that's probably what we're going to need to go to as part of our realignment of politics as the ANC crumbles. But all I will say is hang on to your hats.
Yeah, I mean, people have got to figure that out before the 2024 election, because if you get the same thing at national scale, it won't get better. But if you vote, if enough people vote for proper opposition, whatever the party is, then you can see something different.
All right, so let's very briefly discuss sabotage, sabotage at ESCOM. So last week we saw a picture released by ESCOM CEO Andre De Reiter, which said, here's a pylon that is part of our infrastructure, which supplies, which ensures that our most reliable power station in, I think it's the Free State, is operating at all times. And it fell uphill onto some power lines. Now, luckily, it didn't knock those power lines out, because if that pylon had fallen onto those power lines, it would have pushed us into stage 6 load shedding. And thankfully, it didn't. But he said that this was sabotage. He said that this pylon had fallen uphill, which is first weird because, you know, that's not how gravity works. And secondly, it looks like the metal struts of the pylon were cut rather than failing from being old or something like that. Gabriel, briefly, what do you make of this?
I mean, once upon a time, a long, long time ago, I think on Two Crickets, I was like, you shouldn't talk about this too much. But if you really wanted to bring, this was definitely before the July riots, I was like, if you really want to bring this country to its knees, you don't have to knock out that much of the grid to take the whole country down. And then it might take 31 days, even longer, to bring it back up online. And then you have the seedbed for a proper insurrection. So don't tell anyone that you don't trust to keep the idea to themselves. But this, I don't know, is this like a Mickey Mouse rehearsal for something serious? Is this just, this seems to me to be a bit of a storm in a teacup. There was so much ESCOM sabotage talk in the build-up to the election, because the ANC was obviously suffering. We know from polling that they don't do as well if there's load shedding in the build-up to an election. And they were trying to offload that blame, saying, we have no idea why there's load shedding. It must be because there's sabotage. Okay, now afterwards, this like kind of sabotage. I think it's as likely as anything that someone just felt like giving it a go to kind of ratify the narrative. It doesn't seem like it's posed a serious threat. But that is what one would say until the moment comes when something very serious does happen. So I point the finger to our National Intelligence Services, our, you know, Ministry of Security, which was internalized into the presidency. Has that made things any better? Is Jeremy Vary back in business in the Western Cape? In my opinion, the top cop in the country? No. You know, does anyone know what's going on? I think not. So yeah, we do need to get our police forces in order, but I'm a little bit like, you know, I've heard, we got so many warnings from the police ministry about like insurrections after July. You know, they didn't see the July one coming, and then they saw every other insurrection coming that never came, that I'm sort of quite cynical about this sabotage
thing. Yeah, I'm not sure what to believe either. Sarah, what do you make of it?
Yeah, I think the sabotage stuff is well, Gordon seems to think that it happens every time somebody tweets. So we can only guess at who's tweeting. I'm not sure about it, but certainly incompetence or negligence is a considerable factor. But what I found perhaps even more interesting is that De Reiter gave an address at the Ahmed Kathrada Foundation on Friday, saying that state capture had not ended when the Guptas left. And he was saying that it's clear that there are still networks established which are still invested in the fruits they reap during that prior era. And the indication was that very much within ESCOM and ESCOM people, who are just so well embedded and so well established. He also talks about, which I found interesting, is that when he arrived at ESCOM, he said there was what he describes an air of normality regarding board documents, the way they were structured. And basically, he's saying that decisions were not clearly minuted and led to an atmosphere of ambiguity and created a lot of space for creative interpretations. And there were endless committees for processes to go through. That is probably that sort of managerial stasis stroke minefield is probably what so much of this is about. He also says that the Public Finance Management Act doesn't lend itself to proper governance because while it may be good for buying stationery, it's otherwise for Eskom, it's just not fit for purpose, and they take months to get permission from Treasury to do things. So I suspect that the between levels of management and employees who are not sure what they're doing or don't care, or construction mafias they mention as well, it is probably unfixable. It probably has to be sold off.
Yeah, the only thing worse than running an Eskom that can't be sold off, at least he could fire his CFO and force some payments to come through to reduce the insolvency crisis. Only thing worse than that, running Johannesburg. That would be like running Eskom blind.
Both hands tied. Stop running Eskom blind.
People right anyway, now, that's... I know we have to finish, but just imagine right now people are trying to run Joburg, but they're not going to run Joburg. They're just going to get blamed for everything that goes wrong. But people want that. That is how short-sighted a politician can be. It's amazing.
You're completely, completely right. All right. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks very much for watching. Please support the Institute of Race Relations. You can SMS your name to 32823. It's on the banner behind me if you're watching on YouTube. And anyway, yeah, we will see you tomorrow for the Daily Friend Show. Have a most excellent day, everyone. Cheerio.